afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Portuguese American Hour here at the Daily Dose on Multicultural 1600 AM. I'm Justin Stebbs. With me as always, Dennis Borges. Dennis, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. And how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Great. It's Portuguese American Hour. Every time we listen to that music, that Chamarrita music, that is, by the way, for those of you who don't know, that song is called Chamarrita da Terceira. It's the Terceira style Chamarrita. There's many, many different versions of it, but that's one of them. We are excited to be here with another edition of the Portuguese American Hour here in the month of March. Can you believe it? March already.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we were just wishing everyone a happy new year, it seemed like, day before yesterday.
A couple weeks ago.
And here we are, the first week of March on the Portuguese American Hour with a very special guest we'll be talking to for the entire hour, off and on. And so please stay tuned. We will also be having, of course, some news about what is going on at the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno, as PBBI is responsible for all the content that we put forth here on the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural Radio for Fresno, the Valley, and the world. As Jessica said, you can listen to us online as well, www.multicultural1600am.com. But we are going to start, as we always do, with a musical segment, and our musical invitees for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour are three young men. Their names are Manuel da Câmara, Carlos Pegado e Rodrigo Ferreira. They have a CD, a album, as it's called nowadays, because nobody buys DVDs anymore, CDs, I should say. It's all downloaded, and they have an album called Fado Marialva. And a lot of the songs, or a few of them anyway, about half, are dedicated to the tradition of bullfights and the tradition of bullfighting, and that is in certain parts of Portugal and certain parts of the Azores as well, mainly in the island of Terceira, with a little bit in São Jorge and Graciosa as well, and in the mainland Portugal in lots of the provinces such as Ribatejo, Alentejo, many other provinces that have also the tradition of the bullfights. So the song is called Vida de Campino, and it's all about living in the countryside and living with cattle, with whether it be for raising cattle for beef, for dairy cattle, or also for the bullfights. Vida de Campino, the countryman's life, by the group Fado Marialva.
Campino, guardo gado na luzíria, no montado, no campo verde e mochão. No cavalo, fiel companheiro, olha por mim no calmeiro, nas tardes quentes de verão. No cavalo, fiel companheiro, olha por mim no calmeiro, nas tardes quentes de verão. Barrete, cinta vermelha, cigarra atrás da orelha, guarda os touros da manada. Barrete, cinta vermelha, cigarra atrás da orelha, guarda os touros da manada. Deu-me Deus a imensidão nos campos verdes de pão e o gorjeio da passarada. Deu-me Deus a imensidão nos campos verdes de pão e o gorjeio da passarada. À noite, junto à fogueira, descanso desta canseira, faço festas ao listão. Um touro que vi nascer e saber que vai morrer despedaça o coração. Um touro que vi nascer e saber que vai morrer despedaça o coração. Brilha o sol no horizonte, já é dia atrás do monte, os touros chamam por mim. Punho a sela no cavalo, como as sopas que regalo, sou feliz vivendo assim. ponho a sela no cavalo, como as sopas que regalo. Sou feliz vivendo assim.
And that was our first musical presentation, the grupo Fado Marialva, Manuel da Câmara, Carlos Pegado e Rodrigo Pereira, and the song about bulls and bullfights and country living. And talking about bulls and bullfights and country living, we have our guest, as I mentioned, for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University Fresno, PBBI. And his name is Fernando Machado Jr., better known as just Junior Machado. Welcome. How are you, young man?
Good afternoon.
How was the drive? How was the drive from where do you live, first of all? I know it's Northern Valley.
Atwater.
So it's not that far.
Took about an hour with traffic.
A little bit of, yeah. Traffic nowadays. We used to not have traffic on the 99 years ago. Yeah, you weren't even born. So it was like your father's generation and your grandfather remember that. So before we talk about some of the themes that we'd like to talk to you about, Junior, tell us a little bit about your family history, where your family is from, and a little bit about your Portuguese connection as well.
The family migrated here in 1969 from Terceira, Azores. They moved to Atwater. Mm-hmm. Well, they moved to Lodi first because they had to get it sponsored by my dad's uncle. They stayed there and worked on the dairy farm, and then they moved up to Atwater, and we've pretty much been there ever since. I was born in Merced. My mom, she came from Fresnillo, Zacatecas in Mexico.
Also an immigrant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was easier for her because my grandfather was born in Arizona and his mother was born in San Angelo, Texas.
So they had connections obviously already here to the U.S. And so your family's lived in Atwater in the dairy industry, involved in the dairy industry all this time or no?
My dad, he started off with an auto body shop. Uh-oh. It was real popular, Tic Tac Auto Body. Mm-hmm. Back in the late 80s, EPA came in pretty strong, and what they wanted him to renovate just wasn't worth it at the time, so he got out, invested in the dairy business. He ran that for a while. Never wanted to go to the bank and borrow money, so when times got tough, he sold it and kept going.
Good. Okay. Auto body. Wow, that's interesting. So, did he do that in Port? No, he came here very young. He came here. Was how old was your dad? You said more or less.
I want to say he was 13.
About 12 or 13. Okay, good. And so, your grandparents came over here. Obviously, they didn't speak English. Your dad didn't either. Did they ever talk about how tough that was, learning and the language and the new culture?
My dad always says it brought the family closer. Mm-hmm. You know. They didn't really have anybody, so they got closer to each other.
Right. And you yourself, so you were born in Atwater, Merced, you said?
Merced.
And so you went to school in Merced or Atwater?
I was born in Merced, went to school in Atwater, a little bit in Merced, then finished in Atwater.
High school in Atwater, okay. And let's talk a little bit about your Portuguese involvement. So growing up, your mom being from Mexico, your dad from the Azores, so two cultures. Did you speak all three languages? How did that evolve? Or
my first language was probably Spanish. Mm-hmm. My grandmother's watched over me a lot, but I believe Spanish was probably my first language. And I pick it up pretty easy, so I might have struggled in school a little bit. I don't know. I don't remember.
Right. But so growing up, your parents, but at home, your parents spoke mostly Spanish, Portuguese, a mixture of both, or English?
Oh, I got yelled at on all three different languages.
It depends who was yelling, right?
Yeah, it depends what mood they were in.
Okay. So basically, the household communicated in all three languages, which is really awesome, yeah. And and growing up, obviously, with two different cultures, how was the Portuguese influenced by your father, or by your grandparents, Portuguese food? How was that kind of living experience?
I got the best of both worlds. Right. I got the Alcatra. I got the carne con chile. Right. I can't complain.
Right.
I had a good childhood. I tended to take after the Portuguese side more, just because I always wanted to be with Dad. Mm-hmm. So we go to the festas, soccer games.
And have you been back to both places where your parents are from? Have you been to Mexico and to Terceira?
I've been to Terceira. I've been to Mexico on weekend trips to go watch a bullfight. But I'd really like to go back to my mom's city, right, a little town there. I believe it was voted best colonial town to tour in 2019.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's definitely, you need to go back.
Yes.
You need to go see that. And so, but your mom still keeps contact with their family there? Does she have family there?
Yes, aunts, cousins.
Right. And your dad has family still in the Azores?
Yes. Yes, he does.
Mostly cousins?
Yeah, cousins and uncles. They're getting older.
Okay, so you said that you would go to with your dad to the festas. You kind of took on that side, you know, a little bit more because of going to the different events. And when did you begin to say to yourself that you'd like to be involved in the bullfights? And we'll talk about how that has come about.
Go to the bullfights. And
so your dad would take you to bullfights?
Yes, basically? we'd go, or I'd go with friends and sit there, watch, and I always said, I think I could do that. And just never had the opportunity, because it's like, how do you get into this? Like, who do you have to talk to? I didn't know. I was 15, 16, and my dad, he used to be a capinha, so maybe it was bred into me, I don't know.
Okay. And so, how old were you when you first joined the first, what is now... I know we used to call these things the Suicide Squad, which I don't know if they call it any longer. That's kind of a silly name in a way. But the Furcados, how old were you when you first became a member of one? Do you remember?
I was 18. It was in 1999. I was working for Joe Rocha. So he was a very big part of the bullfighting community at the time.
I remember him, yeah.
And I worked there at the shop. Well... Mercunha, which famous for Quaz and Treda, and here in California, he's like the smallest guy with the biggest attitude and biggest heart. He was training horses, and I see him one day. I said, "Hey, Merc, hey, what's up?" I said, "Hey, how do I go to practice? How do I join the group?" He goes, "Next Wednesday, you go over there and you tell them I sent you." Okay. You sure? Yeah, just tell them I sent you. Everything will be fine. I went there and stayed.
And stayed all these years. Okay, so you said that you would go to these bullfights initially with your dad, and then, of course, with your friends, and you would say that you think you could do that. What's it like to get in a bull ring with a bull who usually weighs quite a bit more than all of you guys? What's the feeling like? What's the feeling like the first time? Let's go back to that first. What was the feeling like the first time that you got in a ring with an actual bull, not the mechanical bull, obviously?
It's a lot of adrenaline.
Okay.
And to be honest, probably everybody you'll ask about their first bull, they probably can't remember it, that feeling, because there's so many things going through your head, and your heart's pounding, and you're trying to remember all your training, what you've been taught. And sometimes the bull comes in the way he should, and sometimes he becomes very difficult. So it's It's very humbling. Hmm.
And today, how do you feel about it today after, well, after you've been doing it for 20 years, right?
So I used to tell Doogie, I started grabbing because I wanted to grab a bull. So it was adrenaline. Then you feel like you evolved. You're a different type of grabber after a period of time. Then after that, it became more like a chess game for me. Hmm. I wasn't nervous, wasn't scared. The adrenaline's not there. It's more what's the word?
It's still an adventure.
It is, but it's more you're thinking about every move you make.
So you're a little bit, you're more at ease now, obviously.
Yes, you try to take control of the situation, and every time you step and you're watching what the bull's doing, you plan it out, and you're countering.
But the bull doesn't always correspond to the way you guys want it to do, right?
No. You say you go 1-2 times, you got to go a third. Every time you're adjusting to what he's giving you.
Okay. So let's, for those who are listening to the Portuguese American Hour and never been to a Portuguese bullfight on a ring, it's a little bit different than in Mexico, for example, or other parts, because the bull is never killed in Portugal, and obviously not here in the United States. It's a bloodless bullfight, so there's not to be any blood from the animal. And so the in Portuguese bullfighting is usually we have the horseman, the cavaleiro, that's the tourada portuguesa, and then after he does his act with the bull, instead of the bull being killed, which is what happens in lots of Latin American countries, the Portuguese style bullfight, the bull is grabbed by the furcados. How many, first of all?
Eight in a single line.
So total of 8 furcados. And the idea behind the furcado is to have the bull come to a standstill, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so for those of you who are listening who do not know anything about these bullfights, the idea is, of course, the bull will be then escorted out, usually with some steers, you know, heifers, whatever, out of the bull ring. So the idea that these 8 men do, or these 8 young men, is to basically have it's kind of a simulated death, but there's no death involved. It's just a simulated stop of the bull. And so by doing that, usually you guys are in one corner, the opposite end of the of where the bull is. Is there kind of a distance that you guys shoot for?
That depends on the bull.
Okay.
As far as when we approach them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just depends what the bull's given us.
Okay. So now in Portugal, because the laws are different than they are here in the U.S. and in California, there is not the Velcro area. In other words, here it's a bloodless bullfight. It is not non-bloodless there. There's lots of blood from the animal. Is it harder to do a pega? That, for those of you who do not know the terminology, that is when you grab the bull. Is it harder to do it here? Because sometimes the bull seems to be a lot livelier than they are there.
Yes, it is. You get some of the best groups in the world, and they come here and they think, oh, just bulls in America. And then they go to a bullfight, and the next day or 2 days later, they see you and say, how do you guys survive all season long doing this? You know, those bulls are, they're not bled. They're
not weakened at all.
No, they're pure.
Yeah, the only thing is they're a little bit tired from running around.
And sometimes they don't even want to do that. They get bored of running.
Right. Okay, we are speaking with Junior Machado, who is from a furcado, a part of the tradition of the bullfights, the bloodless bullfights that are held tied to religious events here in California, according to California law. We'll continue talking to him a little bit more about bullfights, about his experience here on the Portuguese American Hour in our second segment, so we'll be right back.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And here we are back with the second segment of this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. We have a guest in studio, Fernando Machado Jr. Junior Machado, as he's known throughout the Portuguese American community. We are talking about everything that's bulls and bullfights. And we are going to take another musical break, as we always do in the beginning of each segment. First was Vida de Campino from our musical invitees. It has to do with bullfights. That's our theme today here in the Portuguese American Hour. We'll be talking a lot more about it. And the next song is called Meu Cavalo Lusitano. Now, the Lusitano is a typical horse. Help me out, Junior, because I don't know much about horses or other than I like them. They're beautiful animals. But the Cavalo Lusitano is kind of a breed that is used for the bullfights, right?
Yes, it's the favored.
It's a, why is it the favored one?
The bloodlines, I believe. It's, okay.
Do we have Cavalos Lusitanos here in the U.S.?
Yes,
in
we California? Do. We do. They're all over the state, actually, okay. From bullfighting to dressage to working equitation.
Okay.
They're very popular.
It's like a Portuguese horse, right? Lusitano is a Portuguese breed.
The Spanish will tell you it's their version of the Andalusian, and the Portuguese will tell you the Andalusian.
Yeah, the Portuguese Spanish and the Spanish have been fighting for
Lusitano.
Yeah, been fighting.
Yeah,
for
but they never took it over. So
yeah, so yeah, the Lusitano, of course, it means the first Portuguese, the Luso Americans, and so Lusos being the Portuguese, and so Cavalo Lusitano. Thanks for helping me out there, Junior. That is the a song about the horse that is used at the bullfight. So let's listen to the song, and we'll be right back, and we'll continue speaking to Junior Machado about everything related to Portuguese bullfights on this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Let's listen to the song.
Cavalo é lusitano, nobre raça portuguesa, leva os touros ao engano, salta com rara beleza, da alta escola ele é joia, doce aura a galopar, engatada uma tipóia, aos fatos me quer levar. Dá-me prazer pouco antes de montar, carícias poder fazer que parecem lhe agradar. E quando a passo relincha de alegria, cada passo dá compasso à mais bela melodia. Vai comigo ao São Martinho, à feira de Santarém, nessas léguas de caminho é feliz como ninguém. E no campo em liberdade seu prazer é mais profundo, ser um veiga ou ser Andrade é o melhor que há no mundo. Dá-me prazer pouco antes de o montar, carícias poder fazer parecem-lhe agradar. E quando a passo relincha de alegria, cada passo dá compasso à mais bela melodia. E quando a passo relincha de alegria, cada passo dá compasso à mais bela melodia.
And that was a song dedicated to the Cavalo Lusitano, the Portuguese horse, or the Lusitano horse, as Junior explained it to us. Supposed to be one of the best as far as bullfighting, but you can do it with mixed breeds as well, right?
Yeah, some of the most famous horses, they've been crossbred.
Mm-hmm.
Gives them a little bit more fire. I've seen them with Lusitano Arab or Lusitano Quarter. Mm-hmm. Gives them a different advantage, I would say. Footwork, I
right,
guess.
Right. Let me ask you, as far as the horse, I know that your specialty, of course, is the Furcados, but you've been around the Torada over 20 years. And so how much work does it really go into training these horses for their performance? I don't go to bullfights a lot, but he's my favorite, actually, to be honest with you. It's the horse and the fancy footwork, and you know, some of the things that they do are simply amazing. I had the opportunity of seeing one at Campo Pequeno in Lisboa, in mainland Portugal, and it was just the horse was I was at awe at the work. So how tough is this?
It is very tough. You gotta raise them, you know, as soon as they're babies. Mm-hmm. And some guys will start touching them and you know, blueprinting them, as they call it, so they get used to a person. Some guys don't. It makes it harder later on when you want to break them. But just raising them alone is hard, and then finding the horses that have good temperament and they're smart. They mm-hmm. they know what to do. Mm-hmm. That alone is difficult, and then putting them to work and training them, that's at least 2 years.
And now, do horsemen in Portugal, and even here, do they deal with their own horse, or do they obviously just use what's available? How does that happen?
There's a lot of horse trading going on.
Okay.
This horse goes over there, that one goes over there. It just, the horse may not work for you, but uh-huh. in my hands, it might work. Okay. So it's a lot of that. Not saying anybody's better than anybody else, but you might have a different understanding of the horse.
Mm-hmm.
So what didn't work for you may work for me, and vice versa.
Okay. So when a bullfighter, a cavaleiro, the horseman, comes from Portugal, they don't bring their own horses, obviously.
No, that would be too expensive. And
correct.
It just...
Yeah, so they will use the horses that are raised and trained here in California.
Yeah, you have... Cutleria Alguava, you have Cutleria Edmond Martins there in Hilmar, and mm-hmm. so
there's at least a couple of them that are specializing in it.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the ganaderos, the people who raise the bulls. How many more or less are there in California right now? I won't put you on the spot, but you know.
You want me to name them?
if you know, I'm fine. But if you don't, just about a quantity.
You got Ganaderia Pixpoage, Manuel Souza. You have Dennis Borba. You have
Dennis still has bulls.
Yes,
interesting. But he doesn't bullfight any longer, right?
Or does he? He's just raising right now.
Oh, he's just raising. Okay, he was one time a very famous bullfighter.
Very famous.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
You have Ganaderia Soriana. You have Manuel Carmo. You have Robert Martins.
And these are all in the valley.
Yes. As far as from Bakersfield to
Stockton.
Elk Grove.
Elk Grove. Okay.
You got other gun of the age, and oh man, if I forget somebody's name.
Sure, that's why. That's why I said. Yeah. Let's not mention them. But so there are, you know, there's at least, from what you said, there's at least, you know, eight or nine people, you know.
Oh, got Joe Alves and Silveira.
Yeah. So pretty close to a dozen people raising different kinds of bulls here in California.
Yes.
These bulls come from Mexico? Is that where they come mostly? Or
the bloodline started in Mexico. There's a couple different stories to that.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Mexico. You can buy the bulls if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to put them into quarantine,
right?
And hope that they're taken care of,
right?
Okay, because after they're in quarantine, they're your bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, they don't get sick and die. They got to pass quarantine, and then they got to be transported. So it's
expensive process.
It is expensive.
Yeah. Are there any that are being born and bred here?
Yes. Okay. A lot of the ganaderias that I was naming mm-hmm. have been doing that for years now, but there is a shortage of bulls mm-hmm. in California.
For the bullfighting.
From what I've been being told, is there's a shortage right now.
What is the season of the bullfights here in California for the bullfights as far as on the ring. I'm not talking about the Torradas a Corda, you know, where people have, you know, for those of you who are listening to us and don't know what that means, the bullfight on the rope. You may have seen some videos of it. It's usually where it's in a space in the Azores, in Terceira Island and São Jorge, and a little bit in Graciosa. They are on the streets of the villages, but here they're usually in a space, you know, that belongs to a Portuguese organization. And anyone who's over 18 who signs a piece of paper that says, you know, I'm not going to hold anybody responsible if I get beat up by this bull, can go on in. So that's kind of an amateur, you know, sport where people can go in if they want choose at their own dealing. But as far as the bullfighting ring with professional cavaleiros or professional matadores, with furcados, when does the season start and when does it end?
So it's usually the first weekend after Easter, so okay. That's usually Festa Sant Antone and Stevenson.
Okay, so that's the first bullfight.
That's the first bullfight, and it ends in the third week in October for Thornton Festa.
Okay, so it's a long season. Is there quite a few what's the average? Do you have any idea, more or less? Is it 20, 30?
No, the numbers have dwindled the last 20 years dramatically. It's easier to tell you which ones aren't having bullfights anymore.
Other than the Valley, are there bullfights in Northern Southern California?
Artesia.
Artesia doesn't. Okay. Chino does no longer does, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't seen one. Yeah, the Torada Corda. I haven't seen them publicize it either. And of course, San Diego doesn't do it. They don't even have the bull ring. And is there any in Northern California, San Jose area?
They didn't do one last year, but I think.
But they've done
the
them before.
The two prior years they had.
So the majority of these bullfights, the professional bullfights, are now held in the valley from Tulare south to, like you said, to Thornton north.
Thornton.
Okay. And your group, let's talk a little bit. Let's transition over to your group. So your group is called the Aposento Turlock. Okay. So tell us a little about your group.
We were established in 2006, mm-hmm. 14 years this year, make the big 1-5 next year. I actually ended up taking the group over last year in Thornton. We had one captain, which was Tony Machado, call him Doogie. He'd been there, 13 years? Just a group of guys that we stopped grabbing and got offered an opportunity to start. We took the opportunity. Bullfight never happened, and 14 years later, we're still here.
Wow, fantastic. And how many people in your group? Because, like you said, there's 8, but there's got to be more, obviously.
Yes, there's, last time I counted, 22.
You have 22 in a group. Wow, fantastic. And these are mostly from the Valley area as well.
Yeah, I got guys that travel from Tulare to Turlock once.
Who
a
travels
week.
From Tulare to Turlock?
Matt Pereira. Chris
well, these kind of crazy.
Yeah, you got Chris Pereira, Chris Pichot.
Chris Pichot was my student, believe it or not, at COS, at College of the Sequoias, many years ago when he was first starting to get into bullfighting. I mean, this has been many years ago. So you do have people travel an hour or 2 hours. Fantastic.
You meet
in Turlock.
Yes, we meet in Turlock every Wednesday. I got one guy that he travels out of Elk Grove also.
That's usually another hour and a half as well. Okay. So you have people from all over the valley. And what keeps them going?
I don't know. I'd like to think... See, when I first started, I wanted to grab a bull. Then I found out it's not just about me. It's the guys that I'm grabbing with. It's the group itself. The jacket means more than any individual.
So it becomes a family.
Yes.
And so the group started, it's going to be 15 years next year, 2021. So... How, other than yourself, you were in the beginning of the group, I imagine.
I was a founding member.
How many are still in the group?
Founding members?
Yes.
None.
None. Just yourself?
Just myself.
Okay. All right. And
I take that back. the kid left and he came back, and he's not a kid, but Jason Vieira.
Okay, so there's two of you basically, and the 22 that you have now, what's how long have they been? Is there some that have just started, or what's kind of the average? Have they been there 5-6 years?
10 years.
10 years. Some have been there 10 years.
Average, actually, yeah, probably 10 years, because 14, yeah.
Okay, so other than the Pegasus and the grabbing of the bulls that you do here in California at the different festivals, you mentioned from Thornton to Tulare, and even to Artesia, I should say that as well. So here in the valley, Tulare south, Thornton north, but then Artesia with the bulls. And I'm sure you've done it at all these festivals, correct? Have you done it in Artesia as well?
Yes, we've gone to Artesia. We've grabbed 6 bulls there before.
Okay. Any other places that you've gone outside of California?
Chseda. So we've grabbed Chseda, Canada, Graciosa. That's
about it. That's it.
That's it right now.
And is there any plans for mainland Portugal?
March 28th, we were invited to go to Praça de Évora for the Galo de Mons. The Pegasus Nadlish.
Right, so it's a special event?
Yes. It's the first time groups from California have been invited. So we're going to go.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the experiences also in Terceira, Canada, and Graciosa. We'll talk about this experience coming up in our third and final segment of the Portuguese American Hour here on KGST, Multicultural Radio for the Valley, www.multicultural1600am.com. This is the Portuguese American Hour is a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno, and our special guest is Junior Machado, who is involved with bullfighting. A very interesting conversation about everything around bullfighting will continue right after the break.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And here we are back with our third and final segment of the Portuguese American Hour on 1600 AM, the Multicultural Radio for the Valley. And welcome and thank you all for joining us. If you just joined us now, missed our last two segments, we have been speaking with Junior Machado, Fernando Machado Jr., who is involved with bullfighting, who is the leader of the Grupo Aposento from the city of Turlock. We've been talking to him and we'll continue talking to him on this third and last segment of the Portuguese American Hour. Before we get to our conversation with Junior, a little bit of information about an upcoming event this Wednesday at PBBI. We are having our annual Portuguese students, Portuguese language students, I should say. And these are students who are taking the Portuguese language at different schools. This year we have the 3 different schools from Tulare, Tulare Union, Tulare Western, and Mission Oak High Schools, a total of about 200 students who will be at Fresno State this year. Unfortunately, the students from Hillmark could not make it because they have an event that same afternoon, and as well as the students from Turlock. So it will be the 3 high schools from Tulare, around 200 students from the 3 high schools, plus about 30 students from Fresno State, and of course some adults and everything else. So we'll have pretty close to 300 people that will be attending this Portuguese Student Language Youth Day. We will be starting the program at 10 o'clock in the morning. If you'd like to join us, if you are a student at Fresno State, or if you'd like to join us, it's open to the public. We'll start the program at 10 a.m. in the Satellite Student Union. I think I mentioned last time it was at the Dining Hall, South Dining Hall, but we have changed that. It is not there. It is at the Satellite Student Union. It's a large place. It will take about close to 300 people. And so we will have the students there. We will have welcome remarks by the Dean of College of the College of Arts and Humanities, Dr. Honora Chapman. And besides Dr. Chapman, we will also have some other presentations from 10 to about 10:30. Then the students will be doing a college tour of about 45 minutes going through the campus. The campus, as you all know, is huge at Fresno State, and they'll be stopping at 19 different places. So they will be, when they come back, 45 to 50 minutes later, later, they will be nice and tired from that nice long walk around the campus. And then when they come back, like I said, around 11:20, 11:25 or so, we will have two other presentations there, including a couple of students who are of Hispanic background. One of them, my student, who is an awesome student doing a post, he's doing a graduate studies right now, and be talking about his experience transitioning from Spanish to Portuguese, which is not a, a hard transition. I believe that Spanish speakers transition very, very well to the Portuguese language and vice versa. And so the we'll have, again, a few other presentations. Then at 12 o'clock in the free speech area, we will have the Portuguese 4 and 5 students from Tulare Union High School who will be performing some cultural dances, some traditional dances from the Azores, from Madeira, from mainland Portugal. They'll be performing for about 25 minutes or so. Again, if you are a student of Fresno State or if you're just at the Fresno State area, come by the free speech area and watch these amazing young men and women as they perform, as they present some traditional dances from the Portuguese folklore, from the Azores, from Madeira, and from mainland Portugal. And then at 12:30 in O'Neill Park, we will have a luncheon for the students hosted by the high schools, and we'll have traditional linguiça sandwiches, so that's always a plus. So if you're there, come and have a linguiça sandwich with us. After that, the students will have about 45 minutes or so to discover Fresno State on their own, and about 2:30 or so, the students will be leaving the California State University Fresno for their travels back to their respective high schools. It's about, you know, 50 to 55 to an hour drive. I know that because I do that at least twice every single week. And so it is a very, very good opportunity for students. We've done this. This is our second year in a row as an organization of PBBI and the Portuguese Student Club at Fresno State. But we are hoping, of course, to continue with this for many, many years. But we had done it in the past, once as a part of the Luso-American Education Foundation Conference and once with the Jordan College of Agricultural Science and Technology. PBBI, as all of you know, is a product of the three colleges. We work with the College of Arts and Humanities, the College of Social Science, and the Jordan College of Agricultural Science and Technology. So this coming Wednesday, if you're in the Fresno area, if you would like to help the parents who are going to be involved in this luncheon, do drop by O'Neill Park. We'd be more than happy to have you help us. It's never too many to help and get sandwiches and the meals ready for, like I said, almost 300 students. So hopefully we'll see you all there. That is this Wednesday. It's a big day for us. It's the Portuguese Language Student Youth Day at Fresno State. And the big news is that Multicultural Radio will be there. Justice will be there. We'll be there with our tent. We'll be there with the multicultural sign all over. And we will be broadcasting live. So we will be broadcasting live at that particular time to have it played for you, obviously, during 4 to 5 p.m. hour. So do want to listen on Wednesday between 4 and 5 because our entire show is going to be coming to you from the California State University Fresno, PBBI, live with the students, with the teachers, and with all those who are involved in this project. We'll continue our conversation right after our song. Our song, after we listened to the Cavalo Lusitano, is going to be a song that is called Toiros na Campina, again, about bulls.
Há lá coisa mais bonita de se ver do que um toiro em liberdade, porque um toiro na campina, podem crer, é canoa de verdade. E se investe para o campino de repente, nunca pode haver sarilho, pois aquele está bem atento e é valente e aguenta o bem pampino. Rapaziada, cada cidade, e da campina ver os toiros a correr, ver a manada em liberdade, e a conduzi-la bem deviam aprender. Se eu vos falo, é para mostrar É na Lesíria que se devem ver os touros, é a cavalo a galopar, que ali se lidam, mas sem nunca colher loiro. Quando o touro na Lesíria é apartado, numa faina bela e pura, é tão lindo vê-lo solto, tresmalhar, cheio de força e bravura. E se alguém tem a coragem de o tentar, então sim, logo aparece toda a nobreza do bicho embelezar, uma lide que não esquece. Rapaziada, cada cidade, e da campina ver os touros a correr, ver a manada em liberdade, e a conduzi-la bem deviam aprender. Se eu vos falo, é para mostrar que é na Lesíria que se devem ver os touros, é a cavalo a galopar, que ali se lidam, mas sem nunca colher loiro. Eu vos falo, é para mostrar que é na Lesíria que se devem ver os touros, é a cavalo a galopar, que ali se lidam, mas sem nunca colher loiro.
Another bullfighting song is our theme for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour here on Multicultural Radio. And again, once again, do remember that we have our upcoming Portuguese Language Student Youth Day this Thursday. That is Thursday, March the 5th, if I'm not mistaken. My dates sometimes go off. So this Thursday at Fresno State. And do listen to the program between 4 and 5 as we will have echoes from that event, because Multicultural Radio will be there for some live recordings that we'll be doing and broadcasting them on Thursday's show. We are talking about bullfights. Our guest is Junior Machado, who drove all the way down from the beautiful city of Atwater and to Fresno, to another beautiful city of Fresno, to spend this hour with us. I thank him very much. We have about 6 minutes left of the Portuguese American Hour. And Junior, let's talk a little bit about this experience that you had going to Terceira, going to Graciosa, especially those, because it's a different public. It seems like sometimes I've heard from those people who are really aficionados, that's a term we use for people who really love bullfighting and know a lot about it, that sometimes the public in California doesn't pay as much attention as they should. However, in Terceira, in Graciosa, people were born and raised with these touradas, as they were obviously in mainland Portugal. So what were some of the differences grabbing the bulls, doing the pega there versus here?
To be honest, it's more hype than anything.
Okay.
You go in there expecting one thing, and it's like you're more worried about where you're at than what's in front of you.
Bull's a bull.
And they might be bigger, uh-huh, but they're better. And the easiest part about being on a group is being in the arena with the bull. Mm-hmm. It's everything else. The crowd, what he said, she said, and just what people are going to think of you. Mm-hmm. So it is easy. The easiest part about it is grabbing the bull. So
right.
It's the pressure you put on yourself as far as where you're at, instead of what's in front of you.
Was it a special feeling to go to your dad's birthplace island?
Very special.
Okay.
Actually, the first time we went for the Ajuda de Algualva, mm-hmm, and we traveled over there. It was on April, and first bull comes out, Doogie sends me to him, and he kept running from me. I won't forget him. He was red and white, and he kept running from me, kept running. I was like, Doogie, I don't know what you want me to do. And the director said, hey, you guys want to attempt it, go ahead. But I wouldn't send any groups from Portugal or any other group from the outside. We tried it, didn't work. Luckily, Hamgrand offered us a bull, mm-hmm. and so we ended up grabbing two instead of one.
Okay, and let me ask you a question. When you grab the bull, okay, that's the last part of the show, of the bullfight, of the evening, that is, you know, with each segment of each bull, that is. If you don't grab them the full time, can you go back and grab again?
You can go.
Is there a rule or no?
Yes, you have time limits.
Okay.
And the director gives you warnings.
So there's a director for the bullfight.
Yes, he's in charge. Yes, okay. He's boss, and okay. As long as you don't disrespect them, mm-hmm. they're willing to work with you. As soon as you start getting,
is it a bad feeling to have to do it twice and three times?
Only if it's the bull. Mm-hmm. If it's the guy you've trained and you know he was the guy for that bull, and you know. It starts becoming, okay, he's messing up and he's going to get hurt or he's going to get somebody else hurt. You start worrying. If it's the bull, you don't know. You don't want the bull to be better than you.
And in our last few minutes, as you said, they've dwindled down, unfortunately, in California. How do you see bullfighting, this tradition, continuing in California in the next 5 to 10 years?
It's... My prediction, everything revolves around the dairy industry and the agriculture, because that's who supports these festas. Mm-hmm. So as long as the festas can support the bullfighting, mm-hmm. it'll continue.
Okay.
The rest, it's hard to tell. Mm-hmm.
What about your young guys? Are they ready to continue? They would like to see this continue for many years? Or
the guys that I have, yes. Mm-hmm. But it's nobody's knocking on our doors. I don't see a lot of younger youth interested in grabbing bulls. I don't see it.
Okay. So that may be a little bit of a crisis also if it doesn't change in the next few years.
Well, the hardest part is how do you recruit when they see a group getting beat up, but they don't know why the group's getting beat up, you know, whether it be the bulls or something else. They just don't want to go get beat up.
Sure, sure. That's understandable. Well, Junior, thank you so much for spending this hour with us. It was amazing. Hopefully you can come back in a few more, maybe when the season starts, and we can talk a little bit how the season's going and get people involved in that. And obviously when these events happen, we will be more happy to publicize them here for the festers, you know, at no charge as a community service, as we do, to promote the Portuguese-American culture and awareness of the Portuguese-American presence here in the Valley. So again, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'd love to come back, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. It was our pleasure. Thank you for driving down. That was Junior Machado, who is the captain, right? Is that
yes.
the technical word?
Cabo.
And Ucabu, that's right. Yes, Ucabu. And the founding member of the group who Aposento from Turlock, a group who that is 14 years old, celebrating their 15th anniversary next year with a big festa. Next year?
I haven't gotten that far. I'm still waiting for the first bullfight this year.
Okay, all right. Well, hopefully you guys will have a very, very successful year, and hopefully we'll see you next. We'll see you actually more often, but the community will get together for a great big festa to celebrate their 15 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you all for being with us on this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Thank you, Justice, for all your work, for helping us out, and for being here and always being the most awesome producer any show could ever have in the universe. And thanks to all of you who joined us. We hope to see you on another edition of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. Take care, and we'll see you next time.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the Valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.